Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live here at Kroger. We're outside in Franklin at 1203 Murfreesboro Road. We're here for tornado relief. We're asking for non-perishable items. You see our tents here out front. You cannot miss us. And Kroger has already donated $25,000 to their foundation, to the American Red Cross. Customers can also donate at checkout inside. Kroger's also taking donations for Second Harvest Food Bank. That's why we're here, getting non-perishable items. So we're going to be out here. We'll be doing our show for another hour. We'll be out here until 5 o'clock today. Chris Mason every Wednesday, brought to you by, or driven by, Freeland Chevrolet, and brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. Visit SmokyMountaintops.com. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Are you in Toronto?
We are in Toronto. Yes, we are.
Before we get into all things hockey and a nice win last night in Montreal against the Canadiens, Chris, the first shoe has dropped, as in big-time sporting event. The NBA game in San Francisco, Warriors and Nets tomorrow night, closed to the public. And from what I can tell, C-Mace, that the Sharks are going to adhere to what was put out in Northern California by Santa Clara County, asking people not to do large gatherings. And the Sharks said they're going to adhere to that, which tells me, with three home games left in the month, that they're going to be playing in front of nobody at the SAP Center too. Are you hearing the same thing?
I've heard that about the Sharks, yeah, and I know that Columbus went the other way. I think Ohio had a similar kind of procedure put in place, but they're going to go ahead with the games this week and play and allow any ticketed holders to come in and watch the game. So, This is something that I'm obviously not qualified to talk about. I don't know much about it other than, what I'm hearing on the news and all that kind of stuff. It's a tough situation. I'm sure, all of these decisions are being made in the best interest of people's health and safety. So whatever has to happen, it'd be weird, as a player or even a broadcaster to cover a game that had that happen. But at the end of the day, if that's the case, you just got to go on about your business and just do whatever you have to do. And hopefully, we all understand that everyone's trying to make the right decision here. I don't think, everything's known about what's going on completely. So it's definitely a touchy situation, but it's all been doing, for the goodness of everyone's health and safety.
No doubt about it, but there are new rules in place in the NHL, as we know, and it is going to affect on things on the radio side. It did for us last night. There was no visit downstairs to the AT&T call to the locker room. So that was something new, and it is affecting you guys on the television side. This is league-wide. There was, there's no more skate-ups. Right now, I think Willie did it outside the locker room for home games. From what I can read, it looks like that will affect a lot of interviews that take place on your all's broadcast. So definitely uncharted waters. This is all new territory for all of us.
Yeah, no, I mean, no question. It's going to affect everybody. But, at the end of the day, you make do. And if you look at it on the other side, you get a little more. I know how much everyone loves hearing from the players, but a little more opportunity to do some storytelling, get some information, and talk about some things. Maybe you don't have enough time during a broadcast. So, again, it's one of those things that, obviously the important thing here is the health, and they're just trying to do everything they can to help prevent the spread of this coronavirus. And you got to do what you got to do. And, there's a lot more important things than talking to a player. I know it helps with the broadcast side of things, of course, but hey, you gotta follow the rules and do what you got to do. So it's definitely not the end of the world that we don't get to talk to some of the guys. Just try to do the right thing here and help prevent the spread of it, that's for sure.
You mean like do more features on hot dogs and condiments?
Yeah, there you go. That's
like ketchup.
That's the hard-hitting journalism that we need.
See?
Condiments on hot dogs. I mean, we need to know
I told I told Skillsy that he got dusted up in what you all did on television. He got dusted up. He thought everybody was going to be on board, and everybody was like, no, man, ketchup.
I put ketchup on hot dogs.
Yeah, it's honestly, we did that. We put it out, I think, a few weeks ago in Calgary because Pete Weber brought us all hot dogs. They have good hot dogs there in Calgary, too. So he brings us all the broadcast and everybody that's on that floor. He brings everyone hot dogs. And so we're having the debate in the booth, and we're, you know, dressing up our dogs. And then we thought, all right, let's put this on Twitter. It's because Lindsay and I, and Will, I don't know if Willie was ketchup. I think he might have been. But anyway, we got the discussion. We put it on Twitter, and like, oh, my God. I could not believe how, like, fired up people got about what other people put on their hot dogs and what can go on and what can't go on. It was hilarious.
I'm not surprised at all. I know you probably don't know a feature, but Willie and I used to do an hour once a week called Four Questions, and it was two sports questions and two these things right here, and it would never cease to amaze me how passionate people would be over just silly things like that. I mean, people, we would definitely get way more responses on the fun questions than the sports questions.
Oh yeah, it's great. I love it. It's awesome. It's just so funny how, you know, particular and passionate people are about their certain things. So it's all good fun.
You have made quite the case for Roman Josi in the season that he is having. And I was pointing this out last night on postgame. He has already set career highs in goals and assists and points after last night's game. Another big game for the captain, still 13 to go. But we know he's going to be a Norris finalist, but you wanted to do a little bit deeper dive into, you know, his real competitor. Everybody knows the kind of John Carlson's the guy to beat, but you kind of broke down their plus minus, their time on ice, their shots, and along with points and goals and assist. And I just think so. Just tell me what you see night in and night out from a guy like Roman Josi.
Well, first of all, I, you know, obviously I'm going to get called biased because I cover the team, but I would not, and I will not make a case for someone who I don't wholeheartedly believe deserves it. And I did the same thing with Pekka when he had a Vezina caliber season. And I'm not just going to say, hey, I'm, you know, Nashville Predators, these guys are my boys, they're the best, if they're not the best. And I've just seen too many times in the past when Shea Weber got overlooked, and just some of the markets that get overlooked when guys are deserving of that award. And to me, I honestly think Roman Josi could be considered in the Hart conversation, because there's no player that's more valuable, especially a defenseman to his team, than Roman Josi this season. And this is no knock against all the other guys who are having great seasons. I think John Carlson and Victor Hedman should be the other two guys in the Norris Trophy. But honestly, it's not even close this year. Hedman missed some time. You know, Yossi's got him and a lot of the – I just put out the basic stats, but if you dive deeper into some of the analytics and the way that Roman Josi generates offense by himself, the way that he rushes the puck up the ice, the way that he generates scoring chances, shots on goal, whatever you want to call it, and it doesn't compromise his defensive play. That's the thing that's most impressive to me is a guy that's as gifted and effective offensively as Roman Josi, but it does not compromise his defense. He's one of the strongest defensive players in the National Hockey League. So I think when you're looking to judge this award, you have to take all things into consideration, because at the end of the day, it's so easy just to look, hey, look, stats, John Carlson, oh, he's got more points. All right, he's the winner. You know, and the media that's covering this, they have to do some due diligence if you're putting your name on the award, just like the Jack Adams. We vote, the broadcasters vote on the Jack Adams. I don't know all the situations going on, you know, on different teams and this and that, but I'm going to do my research. John Tortorella has done a heck of a job with all the injuries that he has. I'm going to go look and make the right educated decision. I'm not just going to pick, oh, they got the best record, that's the best coach. That's not the way it is. And in Roman Josi's case, I honestly don't even think it's close who the best defenseman in the league this year is. That's how strongly I feel about the season that he's having, with the impact that he's had on the team. If the Predators didn't have Roman Josi this whole season, having the season that he has had, we wouldn't be in the playoff race right now. That's how strongly I feel about his season. So I just urge everybody that's voting to really dive deep and look into it. Just don't take the surface statistics. I just put some of the basics out there, but I wanted to give some of the other underlying ones that people might not always look at. You know, the goals and assists, those are easy, but the plus minus time on ice, and even if you go, there's a lot of analytical systems that are private, and I'm hoping to try to get some access to that just to prove the point even further.
You could do that for the game tomorrow night. You can do that in the pregame. You can do, it's called the deeper dive segment. You can get your partner to put on his pocket protector, his thick glasses, the tape in the middle, and you guys can do a real deep dive into this. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Good for television.
And we're going to do it. We're going to do it because I think, you have to plead your case because, you guys know what it's like when there's a narrative out there. It's tough to get that change because you just hear bullet points from everybody talking about the start that John Carlson had, the point production. But let's be honest, he's playing in the Washington Capitals. They've got a lot of superstar players that put up a ton of points. So he's getting a lot of freebies. Alex Ovechkin, 48 goals. They've got an offensive, their goal differential off the charts. They score more than the Predators. So I just think when you're comparing the all-around game to defensemen in this league, this season, Roman Josi, to me, is by far the best candidate.
We are the choir. You are definitely speaking to the choir. Agree 100%. UC Saros' scoreless streak ended last night, 181 minutes and 7 seconds. Second best all-time in Predators franchise history. Dan Ellis holds the record for the longest goal drought in 233 minutes and 39 seconds. What do you make of this patch that UC Saros is in right now? Of course, not too far removed from back-to-back shutouts against the Stars.
Yeah, he's locked in. I mean, you just tell every game that he plays, it's a good feeling, as a player when you get in that zone, that the game just slows down, it becomes easier. I think the guys are doing a lot better job in front of him the last little while, for sure, in terms of letting him see shots, helping him out, clearing out rebounds. But, at the end of the day, no matter how well you play, you're going to give up scoring chances. There's going to be power plays against you. The other team's going to generate offense. There's just so many good players in this league for that not to happen. And when there are breakdowns, he's been there. He's making those saves. And there are a lot of tight hockey games. I don't know how many one-goal games John Hines has been a part of, but this part of the season, it's all about that. It's all about those one-goal games. That one save here or there is a difference in getting points or not getting points. And he's been lights out. And if they're going to make it, they're obviously going to need very strong goaltending. He's been excellent. He's been one of the, since mid-January, I think he's one of the top guys in the league in save percentage, goals against, wins, shutouts, you name it. So he's been huge. And, having said that too, they're going to need Pekka as well. They got some back-to-backs coming up, so I expect to see Pekka Rinne back in there as well. But, I mean, Saros, he's just been awesome.
Chris, I've been waiting to talk to you about this because you obviously know. You've gone through it as a goaltender in your career of playing, playing a lot, being the starter and playing more of a backup role and somewhere in between. I mean, I think every guy that plays this game long enough probably goes through that at some point. So what are some things that Pekka Rinne might be going through right now, thinking of, he knows he's going to be needed. David Poile said it. John Hines has said it. You just said it, of he's going to be needed to win some games at some point in time. But when you have the hot goalie like UC Saros is right now, what does that do for somebody that's done it for so long like Pekka?
Well, it's definitely a shift in your mindset, because when you've been an elite starting goaltender your entire career like Pekka has been, you have the ability that you prepare different because that you're playing every game. You don't have to, you try to get in that comfort zone. You prepare the same way. You get in a zone. If you don't have a good game, I'm going to go back and I'm going to bounce back. I get to play two nights later. When you get older, when you're in this situation where you're not playing a lot, it's a definite mindset shift, because it's harder to prepare like you're playing a game when you're not playing a game. And I found when I was backing up, which I did for a lot of my career, I adapted that mindset that no matter what was happening, if I wasn't going to play for 10 or 15 games in a row when Thomas Wilkins was playing all the time, well, I was going to prepare the same way as if I was playing. So when I did play, I was ready to go. It wasn't like, oh my God, I'm playing again. I haven't played in 2 weeks, you know, so it was just kind of a continuation of the preparation to play. And when you've been playing, it's easier when you get to play all the games because it's just automatic. When you're not playing, it's a lot of extra work. It's a lot of that same preparation, which can be tedious. It starts, you know, 2-3 days before, the meals you eat, the way that you practice, the, you know, the sleep that you get, just everything that goes into it, and the mindset. You know, you might not be playing that game, so you can't just sit back and say, hey, I'm not playing, I got the night off tonight. I found, for me anyway, it was successful that when, even though I wasn't playing, I prepared and acted like I was, so that when I got my chance, I was ready to go. So that's kind of how I did it. And for every guy, it's different, but it's definitely been a shift. And I know that it's been tough on Pekka as well. It's been a tough season, you know, for a lot of guys. And I think for Pekka too, when you get older, you know, and people always ask, hey, you know, season 7, you're this, you're that, is, you know, talking about the end, and you have this young stud goaltender coming up and he's playing well. It's definitely a challenge. So I think with what's at stake though, and we all know Pekka, he's the ultimate teammate, ultimate professional. They're going to need him. So I expect him to be ready to go when he gets his opportunity.
How much have you seen the confidence in Philip Forsberg change? I mean, even before he broke through and scored a goal for the first time in January, I feel like he's got his mojo back.
He does. And I think the biggest thing with Philip Forsberg and players like him that are goal scorers, that, you know, they're streaky, right? They'll go cold for a little bit and then they get hot. I don't think there's any more hesitation. When you're a goal scorer and you expect yourself to score every night and get points and make a difference on the score sheet, and you're not doing that, I think there becomes a little bit of hesitation in your game. You might look for that perfect shot. You have an opportunity on the side. It's not the best opportunity, so you maybe wait a split second, maybe thinking about passing it. By the time you do that, the play's gone or the shot lane's covered. And I think now, every time he gets a puck, he's just so direct. He's so assertive in the way he's playing. He's just shooting from everywhere. He's grinding. He's physical, emotionally engaged. He's a real fierce competitor, and he's got a lot of expectation about the way that he performs. So I think right now you're seeing him heat up in the way that he's playing, and every time he gets that puck, he's driving to the net. He's putting the puck to the net, and it's opened up passing lanes. He's made a couple really good passing plays too last couple games. But it's a guy that, you know, once he gets hot, we all know the months he's had and some of the streaks he's got on. And it looks like he's about to he's on one a little bit right now. It looks like he's about to continue that though. So hopefully he can keep going. They're going to need that in these games. Those players need to score those big goals, and Philip was awesome last game.
See, Mace, enjoy Toronto. Should be fun tomorrow night. These are another big game. This is a big, big road trip. And I know you'll finish things up in Minnesota on Sunday. It'll be Columbus and Minnesota Saturday and Sunday. The Predators are the first wild card right now. Dallas, they have been sputtering. Colorado just got bad news. Nathan McKinnon's out 1 to 2 weeks. It's going to be interesting down the stretch.
It's going to be interesting. And Dallas, they're, you know, we wouldn't have been talking about the Preds catching Dallas 2 weeks ago or even last week, but they're within four. It's still be tough. I mean, it's a logjam. There's 6, 7, 8 teams fighting for those last two wild card spots. And now that, you know, third's in place, I know the Predators just got to, no cliche, just take a game to game and take care of their own business, and they should be good. But a lot of things can happen. It's gonna be fun.
No doubt about it. Thanks for the visit, as always. Appreciate it. See you when you get back.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, that's Chris Mason up in Toronto. You can check out him and Willie Donick in the booth tomorrow evening. That is a 6 o'clock puck drop. They'll have their pregame coverage starting at 5:30. We will have on the radio side things starting at 5 o'clock. And every week, Chris Mason is driven by Freeland Chevrolet and brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. Visit SmokyMountaintops.com. We'll talk more about the Preds on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.